This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
And just like that, the Aaron Rodgers era in New Jersey and New York is officially over. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. As if it needed to be said and written out in multiple statements, the New York Jets delivered that yesterday. Joint statement between the head coach and the new general manager, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji in a statement, and then Woody Johnson. You know, a lot of spin here, thanking Aaron Rodgers, saying he's always going to be welcome back, saying he embodied all that it meant to be a New York Jet, which I agree with him there, something that had hope at one point and became wildly disappointing. If that's not the New York Jets quarterback situation over most of their history, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. But I think this is all very good for both sides, right? Like, let's face it, Aaron Glenn does not want to start over with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Like, no first-year coach needs that on their plate. And this is fantastic for Rodgers, like, because he probably wanted to go back to the Jets. Get the heck out of there. There's no reason for him to be a New York Jet. That would be nothing but pain for both sides.
Listen, I think we're going to disagree about this. It's water under the bridge now. It's over. It's done. We're no longer talking about what should happen or what could happen. But I think it's a mistake on both sides. I'm on record saying that. I think it's short-sighted. The Jets don't have an obvious place to turn for quarterback. Aaron Rodgers did start 17 games last season. He was working his way back from the Achilles.
Yeah.
He had lost a lot of the leverage and power that he once enjoyed, you know, when they were wooing him to come to New Jersey. And I think that he wants to play so badly that he would have, I don't say fallen in line. I think that's kind of condescending for someone like Rodgers. I think he would have still given you some good football. And I think it was everything but the football that informed this decision. And that's why I think it was a bad one. You know, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to go somewhere else, Pearl, and be a bridge quarterback and usher in the future, unless it's, say, 49ers or something, and then maybe not. But is most likely going to be a bridge quarterback to someone else. Why he couldn't do that with the Jets, to me, is ridiculous. And for Aaron Glenn, I also think it's short-sighted. One thing about Aaron Glenn, and I would say this to every single new head coach for a team that like the Jets, where they've just been losing and losing and losing for so long, you got to win some games your first season and let the fan base actually believe you have any clue that you know what you're doing. To come in and have no quarterback and win six games is not getting you off on the right foot. I think Aaron Rodgers could have gotten you to 10 wins. I think everyone's going to look back and say, you know what, we probably could have sucked it up and done one more year together.
Yeah, I mean, I understand from the Jets' perspective, but for Rodgers, you got to get to an offensive coach, and you got to get to a Kevin O'Connell or a Kyle Shanahan. Like, you just got to get away from New York. That's I don't know why he wanted to go back there. If he was smart, he would have said, no way. I mean, obviously, we joke about it, but he's got to go in the far footsteps, get out of New York, go to a West Coast offense that fits his skill set. Get indoors would be nice. Like, one of the bad games he had last year was in the rain against Denver. Mm-hmm. Go to be like Tom Brady. Go to Florida. get indoors, get a great offensive coordinator, and then just get your numbers way back up there. Because I think last year you could still sling it. He could still throw the ball. Once he gets his legs underneath him, he's going to be good next year. He would not be good in New York. That's just where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah, you're right. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and Rodgers officially part ways yesterday. I think that the one thing about Rodgers, this is the Rodgers experience now. One that's going to be pretty inconsistent, you know?
Well, how do you know that, though?
Well, that's where I think he's at in his career. I think there's going to be games where he's going to look great, where the defense, he's going to be able to be diagnosing it immediately. He's going to have his guys. He's going to be on that day. He'll be moving around. I think there's going to be some games where he probably looks pretty old and maybe where he doesn't have it. But that doesn't mean you can't win.
Big shout out to all the women backing up the fellas.
Well, I think he's going to be much healthier and more consistent next year. I think he was limping for the first half of the season.
Then
he got healthier towards the end of the year, and he was consistent. I mean, his last four games were solid.
Yeah, and listen, they parted ways with the coach five games in.
Yeah.
You know, they decide to move on from the GM. They just had a lot of things. Now, to be fair, they did a lot of things for Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Brought in Devontae Adams, brought in basically anyone who he wanted to. So they helped him a lot, too. I think one more year they could have done this together. I didn't think it devolved to the point where it got so bad where, you know, both sides just couldn't stand to be in the same room together. That never felt like it got to that level of, like, a code red.
Well, I think with a new coach, I hear you have a good point. You don't want to start out 6-11, but I think this is a team that clearly needs to rebuild. And I think Aaron Glenn is a strong leader. Like, he wants to be, you know, if you have a veteran quarterback with four MVPs under his belt, you're not really going to be able to lead the team the way you want to. I get it from his standpoint. I would totally start over.
You know, the one thing about the Jets situation, though, is it really comes back to that cliche that timing is everything. And unfortunately, I think the timing of trying to find another quarterback is not great for them. You have these other veterans who might be out there, right? Like, you want to bring in Kirk Cousins. You want to bring in... I advocated a trade for Geno Smith yesterday. That was my big decision. That was my big, idea for the Jets. Bring Geno back. The draft is not good.
Right, but
and
next
you're picking
year's draft
seventh.
Is going to be good.
Okay, so you want to tank. That's fine. If you want to tank for Arch Manning or whatever, that's fine. But just know it's going to be painful. And Aaron Glenn is probably not going to want to do that as a first-year head coach. I don't think any head coach wants to start their head coaching career. They finally get this opportunity and win two games.
I hear you, but all that sounds good in a vacuum, but I think you got to get into real personalities here. And do you really, if you're Aaron Glenn, just think about it. You're taking over a franchise that has really struggled over the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to deal with Aaron Rodgers?
I'd rather deal with him than who's my starting quarterback?
Tyrod Taylor.
He's not going to last through a season, number one. So, so who's the backup guy?
I don't know. Find somebody. Daniel Jones. I don't even care.
Okay,
whatever.
Then you're going to win two games.
Some chum.
You win two games.
You might win more.
And by
you
the
got
way,
Eric Glenn, a great defensive coach. He's going to defense him up. I don't know.
Even with Zach Wilson, they didn't win two games. They were a 5-6-7 win team.
So is Zach Wilson even in this draft?
No, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, Tyrod Taylor, like, he's better than Zach Wilson.
He just can't last a season.
No, right? I agree. I don't know if they bought him out is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, then what are you doing? So now you're in the middle.
Honestly, the bottom out
would be the best thing you could do. But how many times has the Manning family screwed over the New York Jets? Peyton Manning goes back to college because Bill Parcells wouldn't guarantee him he'd be the number one pick. Peyton Manning personally stumped for Adam Gase, his former offensive coordinator. It will go down as one of the worst head coaches in Jets history. And if they're trying to tank for Arch Manning, I'm not sure Arch even goes there.
It's not a tank. Their quarterbacks would be bad. They're way too talented to beat all the other tanking teams. Like, they don't have a chance. Their defense is going to be way too good to be 2-15. I mean, also, they're in a terrible division. Like, look at their schedule. Like, they're not going to be able to tank with some of these other teams.
So you're rudderless then.
Well, you might get like the 10 pick next year. You don't have a quarterback. What if you have Aaron Rodgers? What's your quarterback future?
Listen, I think with Aaron Rodgers, at least you could stabilize things.
So
right?
Make
the playoffs. How about that? See, this is the thing. You're going to do the 7 wins, 8 wins, not make the playoffs, and you're going to be right back here. Make the playoffs.
Is that
help Aaron Glenn go to the playoffs in his first season. Get some positivity.
I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers could even get that team to the playoffs with that coaching staff and that team around him. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers was going to play well.
Okay, good or are they bad? Because you're giving me both things.
No, I think
here.
If Aaron Rodgers gets with a good coaching staff, he's going to be good, but not in New York. Like, there's nothing like this is not a first-time offensive coordinator. I don't see that happening. Like, it's not a good fit for Rodgers. I really think he's got to get out there to a really QB-friendly place, and this is not that.
Well, that I'll agree with, 855-212-4227. But I'm trying to give the Jets a solution here as far as, like, an identity that's more than just Aaron Glenn giving some good pregame speeches. You know, we're talking about real football identity.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
Quinnen Williams. Well, okay, but Quinnen Williams, who's their star on defense, the Aaron Rodgers news comes down, and what's the first thing he tweets? Thumbs down. You know, like, where's your buy-in? Garrett Wilson, does he even want to be there? Like, what are you doing as far as the best players on your team?
Well, Garrett Wilson reportedly wanted Aaron Rodgers gone. So hard to really.
Because he would throw him the ball.
Yeah, which was a problem. That's why I'm not convinced that Rodgers stays, they win. We just saw him play a whole year, and they were a terrible football team.
Coming off an Achilles. You had to give him another.
Yeah, but he's also 41, and we talk about the Achilles. He also had a knee issue that he wouldn't get treated, apparently. Like, this idea that, forget about the Achilles, he's old. He can take other injuries that may make him more hurt next year. And this idea that, as Charles Barkley said, when you get older, you don't get healthy, you get rested. He'll be rested coming in next season, but he's still going to be banged up. So I don't really know, like, with Rodgers, like, if that makes you a winner, I think you're still probably going to be a 6-7 win team with Rodgers.
And who's your coordinator?
Tanner, Ains then?
Yeah, see what I mean? Like, that's a big risk.
That sounds made up.
That's a big risk. I mean, no quarterback wants a defensive coach to start with, and then to have one that doesn't have a proven offensive coordinator, this is bad news bears for Aaron Rodgers. It's best that he goes somewhere else and the Jets start over.
I have a question moving away from the Jets part of this and moving just to the Rodgers part. You know, if we're talking about a potentially good spot, could be the San Francisco 49ers, Bay Area guy, get with Kyle Shanahan, you know.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
Could he just go in and be Brock's backup? Like,
I don't think I actually
is he too
was
lit
that.
For that. As who said I'm too lit to be backup? Cam.
I think being a backup be problematic for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, but who's handing him the starting job?
Well, that's why I don't think he goes to San Francisco. If San Francisco is going to pay all that money for Brock Purdy, they're not going to make him have Aaron Rodgers as his backup. That's like torture. Like, why would you do that to a quarterback?
I've just seen Brock Purdy get hurt the last couple of years. You know, he got hurt in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. He got banged up last year. He's not a big dude. I like Brock, and I think they should pay him and get that done quickly, but it's not like he's been Mr. Durable.
But has any quarterback his caliber been a backup? Like Aaron Rodgers, I'm talking about for his career. Like, John Elway was ever a backup.
I mean, Peyton Manning was benched for Brock Osweiler. Now, he did get the job back, but there was a moment when he was benched in Denver.
Talking about injured. I mean, Jesus, he couldn't even he couldn't throw a hamburger 3 feet to his son. I mean, like, his neck was falling apart. So that was a little different situation. But generally, you couldn't see, like, Favre going in as a backup somewhere. You can't see Tom Brady going in as a backup. Like, that would never happen. Maybe wait till he gets hurt, then sign? What about that situation? Wait for an injury? Because if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I've said this, I would not, if the Titans call and say, hey, we'll give you the job, I'd be like, nah, I'm good. I would just retire.
Well, listen, you can't just be sitting around waiting for the phone to ring when everyone knows he doesn't get good cell reception at the Malibu house.
True.
So that call could just go straight to voicemail, and then what's going on?
I don't even I really love Minnesota. I mean, I think that's an amazing spot.
Can I give you another spot for Aaron?
Yeah.
What about Indy?
And he's pretty good, too, but...
But again, is he...
Do you see the Colts? I don't even know if it's a real thing.
I mean, you get to play indoors. You're playing in the AFC South. Another team in your division plays in a dome. Like,
do you think they've fully given up on Anthony Richardson yet?
Well, you talk about Ivrek, he's trying to find this bridge quarterback to Anthony Richardson and let him learn. Like, I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers as a mentor is quite a dubious attempt, but why not? Like, why not give a guy who's got athletic ability, who has an arm, but doesn't really know how to see the field or play the quarterback as a full position?
Yeah.
Bring in Aaron Rodgers. Like, you want to talk about a team of weapons? The Colts got weapons.
Yeah, they do.
Pittman, Pierce, Jonathan Taylor. Like, he goes there. I'm not a big Rodgers guy, but I actually think that the Colts in that division, maybe they win 10 games.
Is this a little bit of what they tried to do, bringing in Phillip Rivers, and then they brought in Carson Wentz? And
it's exactly that. But, I mean, they're not like the Steelers where they're clamoring, like, oh, if we have another 10-win season, we're going to blow our minds out. Like, they would take 10 wins next year.
Did you guys see their billboard yesterday? I don't even know if it's true. I don't know if it's true, but there's this gigantic billboard saying we're not signing Aaron Rodgers for the Colts that somebody bought. Because I guess the last time he was a free agent, a lot of people had billboards saying, let's sign him.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I'm not totally convinced that it's real, but it went crazy yesterday. Everyone's like, the Colts are not, no idea if it's true.
Yeah, let's do a little research here, because I'm seeing the one from 2022 where a law firm got a billboard because they wanted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there's a...
Indy wants Rodgers, hashtag.
Jeremiah NFL, just cruising down I-70, spit out my coffee. We're not signing Aaron Rodgers. It has 34,000 likes, 1,400 reviews, 518 million views or something. Anyway, I don't know if it's real, but I do think the Colts is a little problematic too. Like, are you really going... You're trying to build something there. He's a big personality. Like, let's not forget about that. Like, you're bringing in a lot with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, we know.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was a stipulation from the Jets that he couldn't do the McAfee show. And
that's been rejected.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pat McAfee.
Yeah. His boy, does Pat a show McAfee. There. I know McAfee's been crushing that front office, but I mean,
But Roger McAfee's studio is in Indy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm saying. Obviously, studio's in Indy. He'll probably pull up.
Wait, I'm definitely.
In-person interviews every week.
He'd just be the co-host of the show. Get AJ Hawk out of there and bring in Rodgers. 855-212-4227. All right, where Aaron Rodgers could play next, you're welcome to weigh in there. We got into a discussion last hour about the Dallas Cowboys because CeeDee Lamb said that, you know, he was asked, well, who's more passionate fan base, the Eagles or the Cowboys? And he said, it's obviously the Eagles. That's a must-lie situation for CeeDee, but that's fine. He decided to be honest. And Perloff thinks that the Dallas Cowboys crowd is, air quotes, a wine and cheese crowd.
Frank, well, I mean, it used to be. Now there's no crowd, but go ahead.
Frank is in Georgia. Frank, are you going to back up Perloff, or are you going to refute Perloff as the Cowboys as a wine and cheese crowd?
Oh, I'm going to back up Perloff. I got a quick Cowboy fan story. I was out in San Francisco in 94. One of the perks of my job is I had season tickets to the 49ers. And my dad was visiting, so he went to the Niners-Cowboys game. And we're sitting there, and first snap Troy Aikman got, these Cowboy fans in front of us stood straight up with this big, huge Cowboys blanket, and we couldn't see a darn thing. And they did that two more times. I tapped the guy on the shoulder, because I'm still fresh out of New England. I'm ready to knock him out. My dad gives him a beat down verbally, and they tone it down a lot. Then flash forward to the 1994 NFC Championship. Here comes Dallas again. Same four people show up.
What?
And this time my dad's not with me. I got a buddy of mine. I tapped the guy in the back of the on the shoulder and said, "Hey man, my dad's not here to save your life. I wouldn't stand up if I were you." They didn't move a muscle the entire game.
Whoa, Frank, intimidating.
Well, I'm really not, but you know, when it comes to my football.
Man, Frank, we're glad that didn't come to, you said, you know, verbal blows, but glad it didn't come to actual blows.
No. My dad's one of those guys that he can put you in place with just a few words, and he's got that talent. I never did.
Yeah, gift of it. It is a gift. Frank, thank you for the phone call. We're asking you on X, are the Dallas Cowboys fans a wine and cheese crowd? Perloff makes it seem like you go to a Cowboys game, it's like you're going to the U.S. Open.
Well, Dallas
I don't think it's like that.
You know, Dallas is like fancy town USA, right?
I think Dallas has a lot of money. I'll give you that.
Yeah, and they wear it on their sleeve. So, I haven't been to that many Cowboy games in Jerry World. Maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't feel like a down and dirty crowd by any means. You're like, no one's driving their pickup truck off the farm and showing up in Irving, Texas, or wherever it is.
See, I think there's still a lot of good old boys down there.
They're not getting to that stadium.
I think the stadium crowd may be different than the overall fan base.
Well, the overall fan base is, most of it is spread around the country, right? Like, there's so many different fans.
Well, you also need a freaking second mortgage to go to football games these days or any sporting event, you know?
That's what I was thinking.
It's criminal. It's just so much money. You might as well just watch it at home. George is in L.A. He's got a thought for his Rams. Hey George, can I tell
you
something?
Guys. Yeah.
So last week, Perloff and I were, and EJ, were all in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and we got a chance to interview Kyren Williams. And guess what, George? We told him about you. We said, we've got a diehard Rams fan who's been calling our show since day one and only wants to talk about the Rams, George in L.A. And Kyren said, shout out to George in L.A.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I just wish Kyron would not fumble the ball and not have won that game. But
yeah, we didn't bring that up.
Let me get back to the Giants. I keep hearing about the Giants and they want Stafford. And, you know, to tell you the truth, Stafford, you know, he's still very good, but he's at the end of his career pretty soon. And I think Jimmy G would be a pretty good quarterback. I know everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I would take 34 for Stafford and a few other picks, you know, like a second or third besides that, or actually 34 is a second. And or else I would tell the Giants, I want that receiver you got. What is it, Neighbors or something?
Mm.
Yeah, that might be hard to pry him away. So you're ready to move on from Stafford, Jordan, for the right price?
Yes, I am, because I think Stafford is a tremendous quarterback, but I think if we had somebody with a little bit more mobility on that sack by Carter, we might have won that game against Philadelphia. We're the only team that gave him a tough shot in the playoffs, you know, you think about it.
Yeah, George, you're right. Listen, if it's not snowing, I would like to see if that game maybe ends a little bit differently. And George, thanks for the call. I'm a little surprised by that because I don't think Jimmy G's the answer. He's not mobile, and he throws a ton of picks.
I don't mind Jimmy G, but I disagree with George on Stafford. Stafford makes some throws that nobody can make. He puts the ball in a window to Kupp and Nacua between two defenders like literally no other quarterback in the NFL. I think he still has a lot of value. I would love to see him come back. I think the Rams are close. I don't know why they're thinking about getting rid of Stafford. I don't really know why they're not going to pay for Kupp. Bring that team back. They were so that defense is crazy young and get them all a year older. The NFC's not that good. I mean, the Eagles are good, but I think the Rams are crazy to move on from Stafford, but it looks like they might.
855-212-4227, asking you two questions. One, are the Cowboys fans a wine and cheese crowd, as Perloff said? And two, who is the next quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? We got all that for you next. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I was talking about a billboard in Indianapolis saying we don't want Aaron Rodgers. About 73% of the responses on this massively viral tweet say that it's AI and not real. But I'm going to continue to believe it is real, that there is a fan out there who would pay saying we're not signing Aaron Rodgers because he's so divisive. I feel like any team that brings him in, there's going to be people like EJ who want nothing to do with him. And then there's going to be other people who just watch him throw that 20-yard out and like bring that in. So I this is, to me, the story of the offseason. I personally want him to go to Minnesota because the Brett Favre prophecy is just funny.
Yeah, and you've been calling that for, since he left Green Bay. You're like, somehow this all ends up with him in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's just, or I actually thought before Cal Williams that Chicago was in play too because he's had such success in that stadium. Why not bring him there?
Like if you can't beat him, join him kind of thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what Favre did with Minnesota. Went to a division rival, you know, not that people care about that anymore, but when Favre did, it was a massive deal. Like, he can't go to Minnesota. We've been playing it for years. I don't think people care as much anymore.
Dan is in California, is one of those Bears fans. Dan, would you want Aaron Rodgers, backing up Caleb Williams?
Not necessarily. I would just like to have him as a quarterback coach because I think he's got talent for that. Mm. I think maybe his playing days are, borderline, but maybe in an emergency situation, but I'd like to have him on the sideline, freezing his tussie off, during the winter. And he's used to that up in Green Bay. But I think if Papa Bear's daughter, last wish was probably said, let's own him. They want to own him. So, but he wanted to own the Bears. And
oh, Dan, that would be something to bring Aaron Rodgers into the fold. So, in your words, he can freeze his tushy off and be a quarterback coach / emergency QB.
More likely scenario is he goes into Chicago next year and throws 4 touchdowns and beats the Bears by 20 points.
I was going to say there's more likely that he goes into some kind of teepee somewhere in South America and we never hear from him again.
Well, I think he would come back out of retirement for one game just to whoop the Bears one more time.
Oh, boy.
I don't think he's going to be a coach, by the way. I think he could be. Obviously, he's a football genius, but I think he goes straight into the booth or some form of podcast. Like, that guy is going to be a media millionaire.
Can't imagine him doing the booth.
He'd be so good, though. Have you ever seen him do games?
No, he's great on games. Yeah. I just can't imagine him suit and tie, you know, traveling around the country. I'm still shocked that Brady did it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see Romo coming like he did. I think that Rodgers could consider it. The money will be attractive. I mean, there's so many outlets now. You don't think Amazon's going to throw money at him? They don't care about any of the weird stuff.
Yeah, I guess not. How much politics can he talk on these broadcasts?
I think for the newer companies, Netflix and Amazon, I don't think they're as risk averse as the broadcast networks. And Amazon right now is Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels. That probably doesn't have a huge shelf life. So I think bringing Rodgers next year would be a big draw for them. Look at the guys that are coming in the new NBA on NBC, like Carmelo just got a job.
Yeah.
He's a guy I think he'll be great, but I wouldn't have thought of that. So I think Rodgers definitely can work for Amazon.
That's
why
fine.
Would they care?
I guess not.
I mean, they were front row at the inauguration. Like, they're not scared of any politics.
No, that's true. You mentioned Carmelo Anthony. I think Carmelo is great, and he's been very kind over the years in doing interviews. I can't imagine he's going to be good here.
Why not?
Because he's got a podcast with a comedian named Mero, Kid Mero, very funny, and they do a great job. I just don't think him in a studio is not the best way to use Carmelo Anthony. He's like a lean back guy. This is his whole thing is stay mellow. That's not TV. TV, you actually have to try to break through the lens of the camera into people's living rooms. And I'm not saying you have to be Mad Dog Russo to be good at it. I'm just saying you have to be a little bit more high energy, I think. Like, I think people underestimate inside the NBA. Like, it seems like Chuck and Shaq are just sort of sitting back and making quips and comments under their breath. If you are actually in the room, it would feel much bigger. Like, you have to go bigger than yourself to even cut through the camera. And I think Melo is way too cool for that.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, ESPN has guys who supposedly try to do that and doesn't work at all. I just think Carmelo's got gravitas.
Stephen A? Like, this is the master at doing something.
Right,
like Kendrick Perkins? These guys are high-energy dudes.
Right, but, I mean, obviously, like, the ESPN NBA coverage is a well-known problem, right?
Right.
Stay off the weed.
I'm saying, like, I think Melo's just interesting and different. I think people are going to want to hear him.
I bet he's got good stories. He does tell some stories on that 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast, but I don't see him as a studio guy. I think it's square peg, round hole.
It's always about a team, though, right? Like, Melo, he can be the Melo guy, so to speak, no pun intended, you then have, because isn't Blake Griffin with NBC or Amazon? I don't know which way he is.
He's Amazon.
Right. So
Blake Griffin will be good because he's a performer. He's literally a stand-up comic on the side.
Right. Really? I mean, it's all about who you put together. Because, like, Shaq, unless he's yelling at Charles Barkley, he's very laid back. He's just kind of
He's not as good when it's Candace and Jamal Murray.
Jamal
Crawford. I'm going to knock your ass out.
Right. So, to me, it's like with Melo, I think he could fit as long as you have other, maybe bigger personalities.
But then what do you pay Melo for?
Star power. I think he's insightful. And you mentioned, like, he's got a lot of stories. He's been telling them on his podcast, and they've all been really interesting.
I think
he'd be good.
Feels a little bit less predictable than some of the other guys. Like Grant Hill is never going to say anything. Like,
yeah, he's very vanilla.
I think people are very curious what Carmelo has to say about the rest of the NBA. I am. I'm dying to. Maybe it'll be a quick hit and then we'll get bored of him. But I think at first he's definitely a draw. I thought it was a really interesting hire. Who else is in this mix? Blake Griffin, Jamal Crawford.
Dirk Nowitzki got hired too. He's with one of these teams.
Sorry, who?
Dirk Nowitzki's on one of these staffs. Yeah.
Huh, I didn't see that one coming.
And I think the NBA badly needs guys who just finished playing.
Like, I agree with that.
There is a section of the fan base that watch these shows and feel like the game is too detached from Chuck and Ernie and Shaq and Kenny, because these guys played a long time ago. Like,
Ernie!
Well, those guys are great. I feel like the ESPN one's bad, and it's not their fault. It's the production. Like, they only get 2 seconds to talk, and they're at ESPN. They're a partner of the league. They can't really say anything.
Right, but the complaints of the people who have issues with their constant complaints about the league. I think the issue is those guys haven't played in this NBA. It's a different league now. So getting a Melo, a Dirk, a Dwayne Wade, like, those guys played in this NBA, and I think maybe they could maybe reach out to those fans who are trying to say, what the hell is going on in these games? Don't tell me that I shouldn't waste my time watching the Thunder versus the T-Wolves. I want to watch it.
What are you talking about? Everyone loves NBA inside.
Everybody's not love.
When they went away, it was like when they almost got cut, it was a catastrophe. I think you're crazy. What would you rather have, ESPN, where it's just like snooze fest USA? Like, no, oh, this guy's great. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that either. I'm saying there are folks who also have an issue with inside the NBA. There's a big movement of people who were happy that it was leaving.
Well, I think a lot of that was some of the current players who get criticized by them, for sure. Let's get to Bogish, who's got headlines. Do you want to do a poll question? Is Carmelo Anthony going to be a good broadcaster? Yes, no. Listen, went to Syracuse.
for half a year.
Well, I was going to say, legendary communication school.
I don't think Melo stepped in the new house.
I was going to say, though, he could go back for the summer, get a little boot camp.
Well, Kyan's going to be there now, so maybe.
That's true.
Why not?
See, that's the father-son duo we want to see. Kyan and Melo breaking down.
Did you see Lala at the Super Bowl, by the way?
No.
She looks smoking. She doesn't age.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I know, women, we're not allowed to age. Bogish, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
The New Orleans Pelicans' second 10-game losing streak of the season is now over.
We're tied at 133, two minutes left in OT. McCollum for three! Left wing, good!
Christian James McCollum says, I got this. He's got 41 now.
That's from Pels Radio. CJ McCollum scored 43, 37 of which came after halftime to get New Orleans a 140-133 OT win over the Kings. They ended their slump without Zion, who had the night off after playing on Wednesday night. Here is how Zion's absence was handled on the Kings pregame show.
No Zion Williamson tonight.
I think everyone's looking forward to that. They had 73 points in 56 minutes against Sacramento. The Pelicans say, no, he's not playing, you know, return to conditioning. I'm like, return to conditioning or whatever that term is? It's like, just let him play. That's how you get conditioned, no?
Oh, I understand that. Right. I mean, look, and now he's going to have more time for beignets.
Well,
stay away from the beignets.
Everyone, you know, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, and also, we're not fat shaming. We're just saying because he's a professional athlete and needs to.
I wasn't going there either.
So.
Get out.
Not sure what Morgan Reagan and Deuce Mason were doing there, but I'd prefer to say how hot Jim Jackson is one more time. I feel like that's good for balance.
Wait, this was the Pels pregame?
Awesome. No, this was the Kings pregame show. Now, in their defense, they were showing like B-roll of New Orleans behind this, and they were at Cafe Du Monde, but the segment was also called like nays at the...
Oh, beignet or nay?
So it was kind of like going with the flow, but they're still fat shaming Zion, right?
Cottage industry. I mean, listen, guilty.
I mean, we've done it.
So. I know. That's what I'm saying. Guilty. Yeah. We've all done it.
We don't do an NBA pregame
show, though.
No, but like I've actually watched and listened to their podcast. They're really good. This is kind of their jam.
Yeah. Okay.
Who are these people? Sorry, give me their identification one more time.
Deuce and Mo. Morgan Reagan, Deuce Mason, I believe is his last name. They've done an NBA show for years, and now they're the Sacramento Kings pregame.
Ah, okay. Got it. Okay. I think that was over the top. That was mild enough, right? They kind of snuck it in there.
I think a lot of people have made a Zion beignet joke here or there.
As a Zion super fan, they ain't kidding. Like, he's had two games against the Kings, or two of the best games anyone's had this NBA season, but they end up losing by 30, and he's like, 18 for 21.
Some of this also has to be just them tanking too, right? Like, they shouldn't be playing him.
Well, it's funny. All the tanking teams are running into trouble now. I did notice that. Like, what's the team that lost? The team that the Lakers, the Jazz?
The Jazz. Yeah.
They're desperately trying to lose, and they beat the Lakers. These back-to-backs, it's hard to win two games in a row.
The Nets are way too far away from the top three right now.
I know. The Nets keep winning.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Sorry, your Sixers keep losing.
I think the Nets have won like five of the last six of the last seven, something like that. It's not great for the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
Don't worry. I see knee tendonitis in somebody's future.
The problem is the Wizards are just so bad that nobody's catching them.
That's fine. You don't need to be number one. You just need to be in that bottom three.
Four, yeah.
And the Nets are not in that. The Sixers might be closer by like a half game to that bottom three than the Nets are.
Are the Sixers in the playoffs?
No.
No.
Oh, they're out now?
They've been out. Right outside the play-in.
They're not out now. They remain out.
Oh, okay.
Man, has anyone checked on our former boss, Spike Eskin? He is going through it right now with the 76ers.
Did he say it was the worst season ever?
Yes.
He also said Paul George should have been benched.
Scored 2 points.
Eagles won the Super Bowl less than a week ago.
I know.
Doesn't matter.
He's dying right now.
No, they've been in the play in most of the season. They are a game out now.
It hasn't felt like it. I'm sorry.
No, they're horrible. The East is such a joke. They're 20-34 in a game out of the playoffs. No joke.
I mean, play in, but yes.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Golden State's like the third best team in the league, and they're like the 10th seed in the West.
They're one game above 500.
But it's funny how the West continues to support the play-in by four good teams being involved, and the East is like, this is why we don't need a play-in.
We don't
need to keep the Bulls alive into March.
I have this theory that I think that if the team is not above 500, they shouldn't qualify for the play-in.
I would agree.
I've been saying that for the last 2 years. Because I mean, the West... Those playing games are good, and we should keep them. The East, as Bogus is saying, like seeing the Hawks at five games below 500 playing is like, please get these guys out of here.
But then every once in a while, you get the Heat.
Well, what about?
Well, they were good, though. I'm saying, like, yeah. They should have just made it. Like, they shouldn't have to worry about qualifying. They were above 500. Like, it's these 9 and 10 seeds that are, like, terrible that keep getting chances in the East.
Why don't you just abolish the conferences and make the top 20 teams get in the playoffs?
They should.
Yeah, like that. Do you think they should?
I think East and West is outdated.
Feels a little radical to me, but I think the logic is there.
Listen, it's so rare that, and I know there's a lot of talent in the NBA right now, but it's so rare that you get balanced conferences. Yeah. Usually the West is like way better than the East, and you always talk about how LeBron James basically got to waltz to the finals every year, and it does seem unfair.
Yeah, it used to be the opposite, where the Lakers would waltz to the finals and play nobody and see the Celtics. Yeah, I like, why not reseed it? The matchups would be amazing. Now we're not even going to get Kevin Durant in the playoffs.
Well, you know what's going to happen, though, then, is we're going to kind of have a college football playoff conversation where it's going to be like, why did the Cavs get the number one overall seed? They played an Eastern Conference schedule where they played.
We got to balance out the schedule.
But that, I don't think that's going to happen. I think just in terms of like travel and trying to figure that out, I think they probably, I don't think they would do that. I think that's why it's stopping them now.
The only thing about the travel, though, is like the travel, it's not like back in Dr. J's day when you had to sit and wait for a layover in Minneapolis.
Get your
like,
long legs into coach.
On your way to San Antonio. Yeah. Like they're traveling. I know it takes a little bit out of you, but they're traveling as luxuriously as people can possibly travel.
Yeah, but I mean, flying is still a thing. Like a 5-hour cross-country flight takes a tax on your body.
Also, too, there are a lot of people on that plane. I'm not sure it's like, is it that comfortable an experience? Aren't you sitting in a normal seat?
No.
It's comfortable. Bogus got to go on the next plane.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was comfortable for me, and we were in the last row. The front of the plane where the actual players
they have,
sit
like, a lot
is
of
like
room.
A mini casino, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They play Baccarat in there.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Playing Bure. That's the game that Gervaris Crittenden and Gilbert Arenas in trouble.
Well, oh, nice. The flight I was on, I don't think anyone's going to care if I stayed. They were wagering on whether or not they could roll a water bottle down the aisle to the very back of the plane during takeoff.
Nice.
This is how you know you have a lot of money.
We were told to make sure your feet are inside out of the aisle because the water was going to come running down, and if it got to the wall of the plane, somebody won, and it did. And then there were cheers.
Real first class organization over there at Brooklyn.
It's pretty amazing how many rules that normal flights have don't apply to private flights. I mean, you basically could be doing somersaults to take off. They don't care.
Cell phone on.
None of it matters.
Yeah.
None of it matters.
It's all to just keep the masses. Like, it's to keep us little, like, herded as sheep. Yeah. But when these guys, it doesn't matter.
No. No one's doing cross checks for takeoff before. It's like, hey, guys, we're leaving. Okay, fine. Let's go.
Who do you think would be the most disruptive private jet guy at the station here? Or gal?
As far as just like a pain in the butt?
Yeah, like we had Nets access to that kind of plane.
Question.
We had to fly to the Super Bowl.
Whole building are we talking about? Or just this
I was
show?
Doing just Infinity, just for the sake of our station.
I don't think, yeah, I mean, I Sean Marash over at our neighbor station, WFAN, be a problem.
Sean would suddenly have a lot of demands.
No, he wouldn't be, he'd be a problem for different reasons.
Farting?
Yes.
We already went through this, the plane farting. It's a freaking nightmare.
He would be your nightmare for that.
I know. And I say that with love because Sean was my producer at one point, too.
I could see Pete Bilotti being a lot to handle.
That's what I was thinking, too.
He would have demands.
He's going to walk on being like, okay, I'm important. So where are my nuts? Where are my granola bars? I need a second free water. I'll take two entrees.
Mm-hmm.
I want my own row. Yeah. Pete doesn't.
Come on the plane and say, I'm kind of a big deal around here.
Not kind of. The big deal's here.
Move over Nick Claxton. I don't know another net.
Can I make an NBA confession?
Yet they're not in the bottom three.
I have already forgotten who won the in-season tournament. I just want to throw that in there. I have no idea. I don't have the slightest
clue. The Knicks.
Who won the... Do you know? Maggie, do you know?
Put me on the spot, but yeah, I do remember.
I remember the Lakers won it 2 years ago. I have no idea who won it.
And they beat the Pacers. I remember that, but I don't remember this year.
You don't remember either?
Not even a little bit.
Maggie, who is it?
Was it the Bucks?
Yep.
Was it the Bucks?
That's right.
Yes.
They got hot. That's right.
Oh, that was, I pulled that out of the deep recesses.
Well, first of all, you said, first of all, oh, I got it. And then you went silent.
It was a little jeopardy like yesterday. when you're like, when you get put on the spot, it's a lot different than when you're on your couch.
Did she say confidently? Yeah. Oh, I got it.
And did I get it?
You did get it.
I did get it.
The process there was a little questionable there. It seems like you lied when you said
it. It was not a jump.
It was kind of like Noah Lyles winning by a nose.
I got it.
Still champion, according
to my
mentions.
I got it. Please don't ask me. Was it the Bucks?
The Brew or the Bucks?
Like the Blazers. The Blazers.
I had it the whole way.
Who they beat?
Yes.
That I don't have for you. I do know the Bucks won.
They beat the Thunder?
Yes.
Woo!
Both. There you go.
Someone's a pro.
Yeah, I'm having flooding memories back of Doc Rivers overselling the Charge with the NBA Cup as the beginning of the turnaround for the Bucks.
Can I get more interesting, by the way, so we can play the Spinners music again?
Yeah, like,
he's not,
I know.
He's just being boring now.
The Spin Doctors.
Yeah, sorry, the Spin Doctor, yeah.
No, Doc's not lying enough for us to play this music. It's a shame.
Hard to lie with that season they're having.
I know.
I
should lie so much in Philadelphia, it doesn't have to anymore.
I should have looked. Was there any Doc spin on trading Chris Middleton? I know the GM said it was the hardest move I've ever had to make.
Yeah,
but what did Doc say about that?
Yeah, I don't think he really. I feel like nobody's even asking him stuff anymore.
Yeah, they remember that he's there.
I feel like the Bucks come on TNT. That is an instant change of channel. I know they have star power. They are as boring as any team in the league right now.
Coming up, speaking of boring, the most unbelievable moment from yesterday. Does it bode well, though, for one future NFL team? We'll tell you about it next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Perfect Valentine's Day music. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get into Valentine's Day. We want to go around the horn here, see what everybody's got planned. Meanwhile, JT is in Atlanta. We've been talking about what the Pittsburgh Steelers should do at quarterback. JT, help them.
Hey, what's going on, MP? First of all, I wanted to talk about those Cowboy fans. I mean, Perloff, you're right. They are some whiners and cheesy people. But it's getting to the point. I mean, Eagles fans now, like, we've been dealing with them forever. But it's getting to the point, like Matthew McConaughey said in Tropic Thunder, it's like pistol whipping a blind kid now. It's like, I don't even have any fun anymore, like, teasing them. As long as Jerry Jones is there, I'm starting to feel bad for them. Like, I mean, they're almost sympathetic figures now.
Wow.
Wow, they're getting your pity. The Cowboys fans are getting a pity vote. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. And then, in regards to the Steelers, there's no way I see Aaron Rodgers. I keep hearing Aaron Rodgers. Can you imagine Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers like vibing in that same atmosphere?
No.
I don't see it at all.
They kind of like each other.
It's not something that I could picture.
JT, they've praised each other a lot in the past.
Yeah, but it's one thing to give a compliment, and it's another thing to work with somebody 16 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that their vibes are similar, right? I think one is regimented, and the other one is like, hey, I just kind of do what the universe tells me to do.
No coincidences.
And the fact that, you know, Tomlin is regimented, I think the perfect fit from what I can see as far as all the people that are out there, free agents, is Jameis Winston. Because that's all he needs is a little bit of structure, right? He's the guy that is off of the rails a little bit. But if he could, you know, if you could get him to focus and get him, you know, kind of regimented, and I think, you know, Tomlin would be the perfect guy. He's got the receiver. He's got the arm. That's not the issue, right? He just needs to focus a little bit more, and I think that Tomlin would be the perfect guy to get him to do that.
Wow, JT, did not see Jameis make it into this conversation, but thanks for the phone call. But here's the thing. If you try to harness Jameis, doesn't that some of the magic go away? Like, Jameis is like a...
Victory comes from the Lord.
You know, I don't think you can put him in a box.
Like a lot. Prepare for battle.
Yeah, actually, I don't... Bring back Bruce Arians, get him out of retirement, and I'd like to see a big arm quarterback in Pittsburgh. And Jameis has a massive arm.
Yeah, you just don't know where the ball's going.
I don't hate it because maybe Mike Tomlin could get him a little more disciplined. I mean, Jameis has talent. There's no doubt about that. You're right. It would be less fun for us if he was disciplined, but Mike Tomlin thinks I can coach this guy, I know a lot of people probably thought that was Jameis.
And I know it.
Yeah. Then it's not the worst idea I ever heard.
Listen, I know he won a college national championship, so you can't say that Jameis is not a winner, but he's never been a winner on the NFL level. Like, what makes you think now he's going to be able to?
Well, he's never been in a team like Pittsburgh. You know, they'd never lose, so you could probably go 9-8 in Pittsburgh.
Okay, but is that what we're doing here? A lot of people can go 9-8 in Pittsburgh. I thought we're trying to do something bigger than 9-8. Isn't that the mediocrity that these fans are desperately trying to break out of?
I totally hear you, but there aren't great options to make a long-term commitment at quarterback this offseason. Unfortunately, like, you're not going to be able to draft the future franchise quarterback for 10 years.
By the way, speaking of Jameis, I don't know how much this was just a social media thing or if this really became a bigger conversation. He became like this media darling in New Orleans. Talk about someone. We're talking about, can Carmelo Anthony be a good broadcaster? He's so laid back. Jameis is the opposite. He is high energy. He was all over opening night asking questions. He's riding petty bikes in New Orleans, rubbing powdered sugar all over his face.
He was outside of Khan's yacht as well, yelling towards the boat, asking for a tryout as well.
Sign me. I mean, the real guy who's got like media stardom in his future is Jameis, not Mello. Because you need to be able to not take yourself too seriously, and Jameis has that. I think Mello is going to be way too cool. He's got an image to protect. Jameis does not.
Yeah, but can he sustain it? Has he got, or Patrick Beverly was great for about 3 weeks. Is Jameis feels like, is that going to be a year-long project? Will it get old?
Coming up, what did Micah Parsons have to say about the Cowboys and some demands? What he would like to see? Get to that next.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.